Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps and the Pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Saturday, July 8th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our Ice Pick Vodka and Body Armor studios across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete. I'm still recovering from the On the T Florida show. The Atlanta Braves and Rays, they meet for game number two. It's nationally televised tonight on Fox. I'm Mike Rickard, joined by baseball Ben Botham, my Savannah State alum and Seminole grad, now a member of the faculty and the coaching staff on the baseball side. And as always, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and FloridaSportsStream.com carrying this broadcast from noon until 2 each and every Saturday. Well, Ben Botham, shortened week.
Yeah, certainly. It's a little short with the 4th of July going on. You know, did you have a good 4th of July, Mike?
You know what I did on the 4th of July?
What's that?
Moving, brother.
Moving.
Yep, I was moving. Finally got that accomplished and did take my mom outside so she could see all the fireworks that you saw last year in Treasure Island. So she had a great spot from her perch. She could see the same things we saw down in Sunset Beach last year. So had a great time, you know, as that goes on a moving weekend.
Yeah, you still got all your digits, so that's what counts. Mike, no missing fingers. You know, all the limbs are still there. We're in good shape.
They're all beat up, but they're still in good shape. Had a great show on Monday. That was a lot of fun. Had, of course, Peter Blake and Ray Kennedy, yourself. We had Bill Butner from the golf show on, Patty Suzette. We had Keith Winslow. I tell you, Joe Bordeaux even said, you know, that was a great and entertaining show. And we just kind of threw it together. It was a variety show for 2 hours up here on the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, where we're perched right now. This is a nice spot.
No, yeah, it's great. I mean, we're right here looking at the Full Swing Golf Simulator here. And
that you were tearing up.
I was tearing it up. Like that, you know, that's my favorite thing to do. I like that quite a bit now.
Well, I saw you were ecstatic about, and I had some people that noticed that the old baseball player might have a future playing golf.
Yeah, if I kind of figure out the whole short game, that's when I'll make a jump.
That is the bottom line. As I said, we're brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, locally distilled for Bloody Mary or Screwdriver down here at Ferg's. Just ask them, or a Champa Bay, one of our favorites. I know one of your favorites. Just add a little Ice Pick to your request. And we've got a busy day down here at Ferg's. Of course, baseball on all the screens all day, and then at 7:10, it is the Rays and the Atlanta Braves after a tough 3-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies. The first series we've lost of the year, actually.
Yeah, it is, and right now we're on a six-game losing streak, Mike. So it's a little unfortunate right now, but you know, I think the Rays will be able to come back later on this season once this All-Star break comes by. I think it'll be a good little rest for the boys, get them back into shape. Hopefully some people will figure out their cramping issues and we can get
talking about Tyler Glasnow last night. And then, of course, good news, Sugar Shane McClanahan will be available after the All-Star break, of course, next week. And that should certainly help things.
Yeah.
Taj is on the mound tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good game. I mean, and the Rays are doing wonderful. I mean, they're selling out the stadium. I mean, what was it, another 20,000, 25 people or something like
that? 3 sellouts all weekend long. Mm-hmm. And still trying to get you ducats for tomorrow.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Mike. You know, it's a great game. This is probably going to be a World Series preview. I really think it is. These are the two best teams in baseball right now. And I think if the Rays can perform like they did last night, it was solid pitching. Sure, our bats weren't coming alive, but I think if we continue to compete, even on our worst days, where we lose in a 2-1 ball game, we're going to do just fine.
The two hottest teams in Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
To be fair, you know, everybody's in panic mode. Here we go. It's last year all over again. That's not the case. I think that this group has chemistry, consistency, balance is a big word. Everybody's worried about Randy Arozarena. changing his thought process now, as he's going to be in the home run derby on Monday night, that he's going to come back and still be swinging for the fences. Well, I think Kevin Cash can make certain that doesn't happen.
I'll be honest with you. I was a little bit nervous about that as well. I think Randy already has kind of a long swing for a major leaguer. That's just kind of, you know, my perspective on it. But I mean, he's a very talented hitter. So he's able to make up for that. But before everyone starts sounding the alarms, we got to look at some of the other, you know, records that we've had at this period in time in Rays success. 2008, Rays were 55-36 at this point. Today, we're 57-34. 2010, we were 55-36. 2021, 54-37. All these were great seasons for the Rays, and we're right there with it. So I don't see this as a time for us to be freaking out. It should be expected. We were number one for nearly the whole season. We've been winning games like crazy. So it's definitely time that if we're going to have a lull, now's the time to have a little lull.
Exactly. And we get a little rest, with the exception of two of our players that made the All-Star team. And bravo to those guys as well. All right. So when you look at tonight's contest, you think winning one of the next two is a must before the All-Star game?
Yes.
I do.
Mentally, yes. Even if we only take one more game from them, which I really hope we win the series, we take the last two of the series, I still think that we need at least one to kind of usher us in and say, hey, we ended on a good note. Let's go into this second half of the season with positivity and a refreshed look on what the season needs to be and what we need to do to actually succeed, because hitting one home run a night isn't going to win you most ball games in this league now.
Well, and we've got the balance to get that turned around. Hey, we got a jam-packed show brought to you by Coca-Cola, Florida Body Armor, and, of course, our great friends at Ice Pick Vodka. But our next segment, we are going to talk Rowdies, of course, our Rowdies segment each and every week. We have a Rowdies player on. We're not going to do that today because of the breaking news that Neil Collins is going to be moving on, their head coach tonight. It will be his last game as they take on Oakland, and Neil Collins, and they're going to do a tribute to him. We're going to talk a lot about that with Jim Hart. Then we're going to talk Champions League soccer with Terry Mickler and Greg Kohler, two titans in high school soccer in America. After we get done with that segment, we'll talk to my good buddy. You met him, Barry Smith. You met him over at the Florida Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, the date that he was inducted. And Barry's going to join us, the former Florida State standout, Green Bay Packer, and one of the original Tampa Bay Bucks. And then we will talk to Mark Lindsay. Mark Lindsay was one of the original Tampa Bay Rowdies, and he came from England over to the States. And I want to ask him, you know, his perspective on Neil Collins, who's from England. And we had him on, Neil Collins, and he was great. And I wanted to get him on the golf show because he's got that Scottish accent. But he's taken off and heading back across the pond. So I wanted to get Mark Lindsay's perspective. Then we'll talk to Brandi Winans. She was my first partner on the air back in the day. We did a podcast in 2020. And then we changed the format to more diversity and in and out, and brought in some young blood. We didn't push her to the. She's too busy anyway. She's the president of the Sports Club of Tampa, and we will talk to her. She's an accomplished author, speaker, and then we'll wind things down and talk to Josh Wilson, Florida high school football. I told you that the bottom line is we are going to cover high school sports this year beyond anything we've done, and he's going to help us throw on July 29th. That broadcast will be from 10 till 3, and we're going to have all 24 Pinellas County high school teams downstairs. That'll be cool.
Yeah, that'll be pretty awesome having all the guys there in one spot. I know that's something big also for the high school players as well. I mean, they love getting out, showing their faces, kind of being recognized for what they're doing on and off the field.
You're going to have to put down the baseball and pick up your football, pick up the pigskin. But I noticed the other day in conversation with the boys about professional football, you were spot on, so I'm not concerned about it. And our man Brad Richardson will feed us all the data that we need.
Oh, yeah. Brad has his hand on the pulse of all things sports and in the high school realm. So he'll definitely be excited to be out there. I'm excited to see him.
Well, and I'm ecstatic that we're putting this together, and you brought him to the table, because he is going to be, with the direction that we're heading with our expansion, he's going to become my household name in high school conversations of covering them better than anyone. And he just has that passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
Has he had it since he graduated?
Oh, yeah. Ever since I've known Brad, he's always been super into high school sports. I mean, I remember when I was a high school athlete.
Just the guy we needed.
Oh, yeah. I was playing with I never played with him, but he was always there at all of our games announcing, and he knew everyone's stats, everybody's how they were doing, who was the next guy coming up, if anyone had brothers coming up into the team. So it was always great to see how passionate he was about the team and all teams across Pinellas County.
Speaking of passionate, this gentleman, the godfather of soccer in the Champa Bay area, Jim Hart, he joins us as we get ready for a great conversation about Champions League and, of course, two titans of high school soccer across America that are based out of St. Louis, back in my neck of the woods in the Midwest. Jim Hart, what's going on, my man?
Doing great, Mike. How are you today?
Doing superb. Looking forward to this conversation. I'm not smart enough to do the math on the total number of wins these two that we're about to have a conversation with, Terry Mickler and Greg Keller. My God, these guys, over 50 years, Terry Mickler, 51 years at the same school. That's got to be close to a record, along with his wins and everything he's done in the world of soccer, huh?
Unbelievable. It really is. And it's a special thing that we've got them on with us today.
Well, before we get on real quick, your friend Neil Collins, this stunning news coming out of the Rowdies camp. We're going to talk more about it in the second hour with Mark Lindsay and basically Ryan Helfrich said, man, we'd like to contribute, but we are just getting bombarded with media requests. So we gave him a pass for our Body Armor high school giveaway. But you know, it's tough news, but at the same time, as an organization, you want to see people in your organization progress, whether it's go up to the next league or get another opportunity. So it's kind of bittersweet, I guess.
It is. And, you know, those of us that have been around Neil, yourself included, knew that this was just a matter of time before something like this happened. He's really a top coach. I think he has a chance to be a generational figure in coaching. And he'll always look back on Tampa and actually on Carrollwood Day School, where he got his start coaching. So that's a cool thing for all of us.
What did he get his start at here?
He was my last year of high school coaching. He was my assistant coach.
I thought so. Yeah. So you'll be going across the pond. He'll have to remember you. Have a little trip across the pond to see Neil Collins.
Well, yes, definitely. And we have an open invitation to visit him. And here's something else cool, Mike. Neil is, even though he's going over to Barnsley, he's going to remain involved with our Champions League committee that we've put together, which includes Terry and Greg, who are going to be on the show in just a minute, because Neil gets high school soccer. He understands it, and he sees its value, and he wants to lend his name and his weight to what we're doing.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I think I'll do it this way, gentlemen. I'm Mike Ricketer of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. My wingman is Ben Botham, and Jim Hart, of course, you guys know very well. We will we'll attempt not to stumble, fumble, and bumble since we've got both of you on the broadcast and can't see you. Why don't we start with Terry Mickler from Brothers College High School, 51 years at the same high school, incredible records, national records. Just an impressive resume, Terry. And I appreciate you taking time to join us on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. I know St. Louis well. I used to work for the Cubs, so you guys are my most unfavorite team. But I'm looking forward to this conversation. How are you today? He dropped off. We'll grab Greg.
Yes.
Greg Keller, yeah. How are you, my man? Occasionally, these type of things happen in the world of radio. Just a quick adjustment. I was getting ready to talk to Terry Mickler, but we'll go with you from St. Dominic Boys and Girls Soccer. You 12 combined state championships between the two, and you change hats for the girls' game as well as the boys. And I appreciate you taking time to join us here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and radio network. And your good friend Jim Hart is on hold with us as well.
My pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, Jim, take it away, my man.
Well, I guess, Greg, first thing is just about yourself and about St. Dominic.
I've been with St. Dominic since 2001, and it was right after the girls won the first state championship in that season. So I've been part of the 11 of the 12 state championships, and we've grown. Our school is a growing school, and we've in St. Louis we have four classes, and we've played in each of the class two, class three, and now we're in class four for the last couple seasons. And I, you know, I'm proud to say that I'm very blessed with a very talented group of parents and players. So we were able to compete at the highest level, and I'm very proud of the fact that when we got moved up, we immediately won both boys and girls in the top class.
Mike, Greg is a self-effacing guy, but I'm going to tell you, because he probably won't, two members of the U.S. World Cup team that just represented us this last fall in Qatar were high school students at St. Dominic.
Yeah, impressive.
Yeah, Tim Ream, who is captain of Fulham in the EPL, played for me in the state championship in 2004, and Josh Sargent never did get to play for us, but he left to go into Bradenton for in residency with the U.S. team. But Josh played basketball for St. Dominic as well, and yeah, so I had him in class. I got to teach him, but both are part of St. Dominic, and we're very proud of the fact that they were able to represent the U.S. in the last World Cup.
Hold on a second, Greg. Did you just say that he played hoops as well?
Yeah, he was a tremendous basketball player as a freshman. He played. He got moved up to varsity, and Tim Ream also played basketball. He played, I think, 3 years out of his four, and was a tremendous basketball player as well. So they were two sport players and played at the highest level. That was, you know, either club and high school, and enjoyed all their moments that they were able to do that.
Bravo. And Jim and I had this conversation, and we'll bring Terry into it here in a minute. Being from the Midwest myself, and I'm up there in my years, I'll just mention Route 66 gives you an indication of my age. However, being from Northwest Iowa back in the 70s, you know, soccer in Iowa was unheard of. And I remember when we had Perry down here on the air, and we were having the draw for the Champions League, and we were talking about the history of soccer in St. Louis. And my son went to, he played golf at Rockhurst University in Kansas City. And I got to meet the soccer coach over there, and I didn't realize, just you go south of that border of Iowa into Missouri, and soccer's been alive and well for decades. And you guys have been right there the entire time, and that's incredibly impressive. And you also have to be ecstatic after at the World Cup, the direction the game of soccer, as you've already seen it in the state of Missouri and St. Louis and Kansas City. The bottom line is it's now finally coming to fruition in America, and people are really digging soccer, and I think it's very cool.
Oh, certainly, and I'm glad you mentioned Rockhurst University. I have three daughters who I have two graduated there, and one is currently there going to school. But yes, the state of the game, and we're very fortunate in St. Louis that we have such a strong, deep-rooted soccer culture, especially in high school, that was brought about by the formation of the late great Bob Gelker, who formulated the CYC parochial program, which started out as a kind of a free recreational type soccer in local parishes within the city. It became the largest sports organization in the country. And that fed into high schools, which then fed into colleges. And that was the success, really, if we go all the way back into our culture in St. Louis, contributed to that specific organization and how soccer grew from that standpoint and contributed to its success over the years.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, listen, I'm really glad you mentioned that, Greg. And one thing we'll pick up on in our chat today is free, and the fact that that program was accessible to anybody. Not they didn't have to pay confiscatory rates to be a part of it. And leading letting that lead us into the Champions League, sort of, Greg. And I know we'll get Terry on here too. What is your impression of the Champions League? And do you want to get Terry going, Mike, first?
You have at it, my friend. Introduce him.
Terry Mickler. I can't believe we've got you on the show with us as well as Greg. So, Terry, introduce yourself to Tampa Bay and tell us about yourself.
Well, I grew up in the CYC program like Greg just described. And the beauty of that was that you played for the school and the parish that you belong to. And you develop rivalries along the way, intense rivalries in some cases. And I think that's what really made the difference was you wanted to beat those guys that lived in a different area of the city than you did. You got to represent your area. And we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit with clubs because clubs, they don't have the same identity that we had with CYC. And then I went to high school at CBC where I'm back coaching here for a few years. And I also went to Rockers. It was Rockers College when I was there. Now it's a university. I upgraded, I guess. So that's kind of my thing. And then I came back to CBC, started coaching in the 71-72 season, and been there ever since.
Hey, you know, Terry, this is Mike. I was just talking off air to my young wingman here. You sound like you're in your 20s or your 30s, and then I'm looking at your resume, and you just said 71 and 72. You must be one energetic young man, and it is Rutgers University now, and a great school, and I was very blessed, as you guys were. My son playing golf there, I love that school, the Hawks, and they love their soccer there, fellas.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I just turned 76 a month ago, so. I'm still looking ahead, not back.
You're my new. It was Hart, but now it's you. You're my new idol. So, Jim, you just got pushed aside by 76-year-old. I'm sorry, pal.
I'm happy to carry his bag. Proud to. So, guys, tell us about your impressions of the Champions League.
Nothing better than the Champions League is second only to the World Cup, in my opinion. And everybody recognizes both of those for what they are, you know. So when you throw those terms out and you've got a competition like those two, it gets people's attention right away, no doubt about it.
My impression is that, in St. Louis, our competitive structure has kind of stagnated a little bit and it needs to be reinvigorated. And I think the High School Champions League is going to be a whole different way that the community will support and experience the high school soccer. And I'm really excited to be a part of this growing initiative.
You know, Terry, Greg, you mentioned something I think real important in the growth that the academies have gone through. They've forgotten about the importance of the local derby, haven't they? And they've kind of left that
really
to high school.
Especially in our city because two of the biggest clubs merged. And that was we always had a north-south rivalry in St. Louis. And we had Scott Gallagher in the north and Bush in the south. And they merged all together with Scott Gallagher. So you just lost that. But Greg mentioned something earlier on that I want to go back to because I think that's the root of our history is culture. You know, when you look at the history of St. Louis soccer, it goes way back. It goes back further than anybody would realize. And we have an individual in St. Louis. His name is Dave Lang, and he's written two books on the history of soccer in St. Louis. And he goes back to the first time a ball was kicked. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Well, we're feeling incredibly lucky that the High School Champions League and St. Louis are working together. How has the reception been in St. Louis among the folks you've talked to about this so far?
they're incredibly excited. I think we're just starting to open the doors, and people are starting to catch word. And so as we move forward with this initiative, I think it's going to be receptive. You know, it's going to be highly receptive by the local community, local businesses. And I can't wait to be able to get in front of people and bring about what the plan is and how we're going to structure this in the future.
We haven't presented this to anybody that hasn't been overwhelmingly excited about it, all the way up to St. Louis City in the MLS. They're excited about it, too.
How exciting is that? You know, the Tampa Bay Rowdies are, and Mike can tell you this, are one of our biggest supporters. And, in fact, they even helped sponsor this segment that we're on right now on the radio. It's all tied in together with the Rowdies. So tell us about St. Louis City. How are they thinking about it?
Well, we have we just are scheduling the meeting coming up with them to introduce this and to see what kind of sponsorship they're willing to support us with. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be in about a week or so. And I'm hoping to see what comes out of that meeting. But I have a feeling, and Terry certainly can expand on this, is that they have three basic pillars that they go by. And one is obviously the first team. Second is their academy. And then third is community. And we fit right into that community segment of what they are trying to do here in St. Louis and connect with the local communities. So I'm really excited about being able to meet with them again and to see where it takes us.
City has done a good job of not alienating themselves from the local soccer community. They came in with a game plan that they're going to integrate into what we have here, a long time established. They're not going to come in and push everybody away. Okay, they're working in the right direction. When we first approached them with just the general outline, the first thing they said was, "We want to know more about this. We want to know more about this." So that's where we're at.
That's fantastic. And you know, you talked about culture, Terry, and I think that's something that the academies maybe can learn from you guys, and it's the same thing here, is the way high school coaches work together for each other. Even though you guys, would it be fair to say you guys are rivals on the field?
Yeah, sure. But, you know, that's something that's been unique about soccer, because after games, it's not uncommon for the opposing coaches to, you know, get together and hang out for a little bit and go on and socialize. You don't see that too much in other sports. At least we haven't seen it here. So, no, we do a good job of getting along. We really do.
For Cardinal fans, you do.
That's fantastic. So, Mike Rickard can tell you guys about our Champions League draw. Our last one, which was held right there at Ferg Sports Bar, where Mike is broadcasting live from. And Mike was there to broadcast the draw live on the radio. And he saw a room full of high school coaches, bitter rivals on the field, together, collegially together, for this exciting event. Mike, do you want to say a word about that?
Well, I'm willing to insert my thought process on that from the soccer community's perspective. I was very impressed that, you know, in fact, I had several coaches, opposing coaches on at the same time, assisting me through the broadcast as we had the Rowdies present, and we had a couple of college members here as well. But I like that camaraderie, and I think that's kind of, fellas, what's helped your sport in America blossom to where it was predicted it may, and there's a lot of naysayers, and I'm probably one of them, that thought there's no way that soccer is going to rival baseball, America's, you know, favorite pastime, and now you look at these numbers and they are enormous and generational now. Look at you three generationally, you've seen it advance, and it's got to be because of the cohesiveness, because it was probably that us against them mentality from the soccer world against the rest of the sports world. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, I think so, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, soccer in the U.S. got professionally got off to kind of a bad start. And I say that by what I mean by saying that is that they started off with all foreigners coming into play, and nobody could identify with them. You know, and now the league's got way more Americans on their rosters and some local kids and whatnot. So there's a better identification now of the kids that are playing, and families want to go out and watch their kid or their kid's friend play. Big change.
Big, great point there.
Yeah, well, and even if we take a deeper look at it, is that it's based on not our ambitions, but the kids' ambitions. And I think that's the deep root, if you get real into the analysis of it, is that we're all for the kids and their ambitions rather than adult ambitions. And that brings us together.
And that's why, as I've been promoting positive participation in sport for 20-some years, starting up in Iowa, I love your sport, and I love that camaraderie and that commitment to the youth. And I think that's why the grassroots and parents are excited about getting their kids involved at a very young age. And the cost of participation is minimal relative to the other sports, too, fellas.
And equipment-wise as well.
Exactly.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I was under the impression that Iowa has put in many pitches to build soccer up in the community.
Absolutely have. And a lot of it has, at the forefront, has been a team called the Des Moines Menace, owned by Come yep. and Go. And I know the owner very well, and he has been on the soccer bandwagon since the early 2000s and pushing. I used to do their program and had a segment just for the Des Moines Menace. Nobody was listening, and now they've become a household name across Iowa. And Kyle Krause was instrumental in the sport taking off where it is now. But they're light years behind you fellas down there in St. Louis, that's for sure.
In the early part of that league, St. Louis had a team called the Lions, St. Louis Lions.
Yeah, I remember that.
Always a class of the league. And I was assistant Tony Glavin. He was the head coach, and I was his assistant. So, yeah, we'd go up to Des Moines and get whipped and come home wondering what happened.
Yeah, you played at Hoover High School, or you played at Valley Stadium. They didn't really have their own facility back in those days.
Yeah, I think it was Valley. I don't think it was a high school.
Hey, gentlemen, I got to wind this down. I've got a heartbreak coming up. I thoroughly enjoyed this. We're going to launch a podcast with Jim Hart. It's going to be on our FloridaSportsStream.com. So we will make certain that we put together several roundtables that include the coaches down here, you guys, Jim Hart. We'll pull some of the Rowdies upper office staff and talk about the world, and we'll get Perry obviously involved. We'll talk about the world of soccer across America. How's that sound?
Awesome, fantastic. And you know, fantastic. Kudos to Tampa Bay for staying alive in the game as long as they have, because many of the other franchises went south, stayed in it, you know, and they maintained an organization against all odds and back up at it again. Good for them.
Well, now they got deep pockets with the Tampa Bay Rays ownership, so their future's extremely bright. Jim Hart, thank you as always for putting this together. Say goodbye to the fellas. Terry and Greg, pleasure meeting you. Now we got that Rockhurst Hawk commonality. I look forward to conversation with you in the future.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Take care, guys.
All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to royalty in this area. He's the godfather of sports. He is Barry Smith. You and I were at the induction at the Florida Sports Hall of Fame over at Raymond James Stadium, and we'll throw some sports, golf, baseball. You name the sport, Barry Smith can talk about it. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, where tonight at 7:10, it is the Atlanta Braves and the Tampa Bay Rays.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you would be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard alongside baseball Ben Botham. We are live from our 19th hole clubhouse studios, perched above Ferg's, and we've got some guys playing in the lower nine, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And these guys actually know what they're doing. They brought their own sticks.
Wow. Hey, that's impressive, Mike.
We have been open, and Barry Smith, our next guest, is going to get down here. And he's got game. But these guys that have been coming are a bunch of hacks. They've been breaking equipment. I gave these guys a bear hug. You got your own gear. You know what you're doing. You're not going to bust anything up. But come on down to the 19th hole clubhouse and play on our simulators. Right now, it's still free until next week when on Thursday, we will have our two-hour on-the-tee Florida launch. Our show will now be on drive time from 5 to 7. It's going to be a two-hour entertainment expose. I plan on getting Barry against maybe Toby Hall, and we'll have a little MLB baseball against NFL. He doesn't know I'm doing this yet, but I'm announcing it on the air. We'll convince him and have a little fun with that. And without further delay, let's bring him in. And our conversation brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and of course Sea Dogs Brewing, one of Barry's favorite places for breakfast. Now, what's going on, my man?
Hey, you know, Mike, what's that saying? If it's free, it's for me. So count me in.
Yeah, well, I like that, but unfortunately, I don't get the FREE calls. I'm usually the deliverer. No, actually, I've been very blessed, and a lot of it has to do with you, my friend. And I know I say it often, but I don't mind saying it on the air. If not for Barry Smith, and if not for Mark Ferguson, and these are facts, there wouldn't be any Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I wouldn't be sitting where I am right now, and I wouldn't be blessed to have the circle of friends that have embraced me coming down from the great state of Iowa. And again, thank you very much, my man.
Hey, listen, we got to take care of the Yankees from time to time. Even though you burned us out, you go.
I remember the day we went to breakfast over at Gulfport. What was the name of the place?
Oh, Stella's.
Stella's. And you schooled me, and Ben, being from Florida, you can appreciate this. He schooled me in the world of eating Southern breakfast. Tea. I had to eat fried green tomatoes.
What, have you never had grits before, Mike?
Good stuff.
Good stuff. It was good stuff. But anyway, so, you know, we are up here on the 19th hole, and, you've been golfing. How many times a week are you golfing now? Three, four?
Mike, it's never enough.
Every time I turn around, you got a different foursome.
Never enough. You're
heading to Naples today, tomorrow?
Heading down tomorrow afternoon. I'm hooking up with a couple of dear friends I grew up with, high school buddies. We all played baseball, football together and all that good stuff. But Joel Finari, he lives down there in Naples. He invited me and Tommy Carlson to come on down for several days. So we got tee times for Tuesday and Wednesday morning. And I'm looking forward to it. And then I'll get back here Wednesday afternoon. The daughter comes in the next day. We go fishing.
When I grow up, I want to be Barry Smith. Hey, you know what? At any time you want to fine-tune your swing or work on something, just give me a call, and you have an open invitation to get on one of the simulators. Right now I've got it set up on Pebble Beach, as that's where the women's U.S. Open's taking place right now. About 54 degrees out there. Did you see any of that?
Yes. A number of years ago, I had the pleasure of playing Pebble Beach, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I mean, playing Pebble Beach would be like going seeing the game at Lambeau or going to Wrigley and see the baseball game. It's an iconic venue. As a matter of fact, one of our dear friends, Jane Geddes, who won a U.S. Open many years ago, is out there, was invited out there along with all of the past U.S. Open winners, you know, the LPGA Open winners, and they had a big blowout a couple days ago out there. And so I can imagine it's a very cool experience.
Well, John Rager has already, we've already talked about getting Jane on the Tee Florida when she returns, and we've had her on before, and I'm sure that'll be a great conversation. I got to ask you, going back, and for our audience that haven't listened to us, Barry comes on about four or five times a year. His bio, he's from Miami. He played at Florida State, and then he was a number one draft pick by the Green Bay Packers, then migrated back to the sunshine and warmth of the great state of Florida. It was an original one of the original Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, we have Des Moines Buccaneers. That's our hockey team. So that was a Freudian slip. But anyway, Tampa Bay Bucks. But I got to go back. When did you start golfing?
I actually never picked up a golf club until after I got drafted by the Packers. And I did a trip up to Green Bay, actually Fond du Lac, for a charity event. Even before I signed my contract, but Hornings Pro Shop out of Green Bay gave me a set of golf clubs, and that kind of started my adventures into golfing. Let's put it that way, and I dearly love it. It's one of the greatest games that's ever been invented. If you ever go over to, we have beautiful courses, but when you go over to Scotland and Ireland and play some of those courses over there, and, you know, you delve in the R and the A, it's pretty cool stuff.
Well, who would have thought a Miami boy goes up to Wisconsin, Ben, to be like you coming up to Iowa to get involved in the game of golf? But they do have some lush, gorgeous courses up there. You can only play, though, like 3 months out of the year, unfortunately.
I have not played Kohler, and that's on my bucket list. My son and I are thinking about going up there to catch a Packers-Bucks game, but I think Kohler will probably be closed by the time December rolls around, so I guess we'll have to wait another time.
All right, so let's talk a little football. As a big Florida Seminole supporter, alum, high expectations this year for Coach Norvell. You look at some of the preseason picks; they've got him playing in the playoffs in the Final Four. Your assessment of how he's developed this program after taking over?
Well, I got to tell you, I think he's done a phenomenal job in a very short time, especially with the, we'll call it the landscape of college football these days. You know, I love Florida State, but, you know, we're not exactly Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, some of those universities that have been around for a long time and have extremely deep pockets with extremely wealthy alumni. So, but I'll tell you, Norvell, his coaching style, the players love him. He's the player's coach. He's intense. He's enthusiastic. And obviously, he has changed the mindset up there in Tallahassee, which I dearly love. Now, at the same time, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, or I get a little nervous, with people raising us to a very high level expectations. Listen, last year with the turnaround that we did, it was phenomenal, and I hope we can continue to build on that. Would I love to see us in a Final Four? Of course, hell yes. Like anything else, you know what? If we stay healthy and you get the right bounce and the right call, hey, who knows?
You know, you take a look at that schedule, with the exception of the opener against that traitor, Brian Kelly, who left my Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the LSU Tigers. Yeah, he is a traitor. Anyway, but that's just the world of college football these days. But when Brian Kelly lost me, when that clown went with the Cajun accent at one of his first announcements down there, I thought that was just ridiculous. But you guys opened up against them. You had them on the ropes. Was it last year?
We upset them in New Orleans. You know, we had a. You know, New Orleans was a neutral site, like Orlando this year, a neutral site. But, you know, it's an FSU home game this year. It was an LSU home game last year. But that really set the table. That was a big, big, big win for Florida State. I think with the kids, they believe now that they could actually, you know, continue to win some big games. And we obviously went on to have a very fine year last year.
You know, one of the things, and hopefully Coach Norvell is addressing this, and it's the entire state, whether you're talking your beloved Gators or Miami Hurricanes. but the big three were losing all the great recruits. You know, the more I dive into sports here, incredible high school athletics, going back to your generation, incredible athletes coming out of here, most of them staying home back in the day. And I've been doing this now 3 years here, but I've been here seven. And it just sickened me thinking, why are all these great players leaving the state? But I think Norvell has addressed it, and he realizes, you know, he's right in his own backyard. He's got incredible talent. But as you said earlier in the conversation, the landscape of college football has changed dramatically. It's all legalized now, but people are, you know, able to
it's
reach.
All legal.
Yeah.
It's all legal. But listen, you know, the challenge, and you think about it, one time college teams, they all had, you know, their staff was focused on recruiting high school athletes. Now you got really two staffs, because you got to have one kind of focused on your high school athletes. But now with the transfer portal, you know, you're looking, it's like free agency. You're trying to look, you know, where can I fill a need, you know, right now, not 2 or 3 years from now, but now. So it's quite, and then of course, you know, with the NIL money, you know, which is supposed to have been just for the athlete, for him to figure it out. Now, really, the colleges have to really bring that to the table. So everything's basically legalized. So it's semi-pro. But, hey, you know, who doesn't love college football? I'm jacked up. September 3rd, can't get here fast enough, and I'm ready to go.
You know, some of this, you know, back in the day would have been called poaching. Now it's just who's the best salesman is the reality. And they're grabbing players out of the same conferences. They're grabbing players that only one and done. You know, an FSU guy could jump over and start playing for the Gators. I mean, there's no loyalty. They're all turning into friggin' mercenaries in college football now.
Well, it does. Again, as I said, it's quite a challenge. You know, it's quite a challenge. But hey, listen, I'm all for the garnering gold. But you know, at the same time, I really want to see Florida and Miami and USF, UCF, and CMU, Bethune-Cookman, all of them to do very well because, you know, listen, as you know, I'm very involved with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And I want to see.
You're a member, brother. You remember, well. November 2nd, 2022. I'll never forget the day because Ben and I were there broadcasting, and that was a day that you deservedly were introduced into the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, something you'd been a part of for a long time, and it was a long time coming.
Well, you know that I wore number 22 when I played at Florida State, so maybe it was due here in 2022, right?
I never thought of that. Yeah, very cool.
Yep. Yeah, well, I think of those. Hey, listen, when I mark my golf balls, I just put a 22 on it. I'd take my marker, I'd just go 22, you know?
There you go. All right, my friend. Well, when you can get some time, I want to take you to breakfast over at Sea Dogs. We'll see our buddy Charlie. I'm gonna get him up here working on his drives, keeping him down the pipe. And then,
hey, Mike, he needs to do it because he and I played on the 4th of July. And the kid is a young gun, and he can hit it a long way. The problem is it's not always in the fairway. It could be sometimes it was two fairways off, but he can damn sure hit it a long way.
Well, I've got a young man sitting next to me who pitched at Savannah State and pitched at Seminole, Ben Botham. You met Ben several times.
Yep.
But Ben started cracking balls here on the simulator. He's knocking them out there about 265, but I said – you know, I really don't care if you can't pitch and putt. It doesn't matter, and you got to keep in the fairway. And Barry can tell you that, there, Ben.
Yep, you got it. You got it. I'll get down there and try that simulator out in about 2 weeks. How's that when I get back from Naples?
All right, I'll buy a couple coldies or as many as you want, and bring anybody down, and we'll have some fun. Hey, enjoy your daughter. I know those are special moments for you, and of course, your buddies down in Naples, and stay out of trouble, Barry.
I'm going to try. Take care.
All right. Thank you, my man. I call him the godfather of sports in this area and around Florida. If you want something done, I'm telling you.
He's the man to go see.
It's amazing. He'll say, if I call him, you know, and I don't go to the well too often because basically I took the whole bucket the first time and I've been blessed. But when I do, he's just, he makes 3 or 4 phone calls, and the next thing, it's solved, whatever the problem is.
It's probably got a dark office sitting there with a cat in his lap, Mike.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite movies my favorite movies of all time. I mean, at an Italian restaurant last night with Terry called Caruso's, and they're playing Dean Martin, and they're playing, I think it was the soundtrack from Godfather. I absolutely love it, but here's how sad it is. I've watched Godfather so many times. Every song I was visualizing in the movie what takes place during that portion of the movie of the Godfather and Godfather 2.
So, Mike, are you Godfather 1 or Godfather 2 kind of guy?
That's a tough call, but I got to go with the maiden voyage.
I mean, I think Godfather 2 might have been better.
That's what the actors say. And that's what the actors say.
And there's very few movies like that, like Rocky 1 and Rocky 2. I think Rocky 2 might blow Rocky 1 out of the water.
I agree. When we come back in second hour, right around the corner, we're going to talk to Brandy Winans. We are going to talk a little high school football, Josh Wilson. We're going to talk a little rowdies. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network for hour 2. Don't go anywhere.